Okay, we'll go ahead and get started so we get our full hour of ethics. We have an exciting change for you for this last session. Brittany and Ben are actually going to be speaking to you on privilege today, which will still get you your ethics, no worries. You've met them both. Ben is from UNC Chapel Hill, and Brittany is from Ohio State. Thank you both for be willing to do this.
Cool. Thank you. So 8 years ago, I first did a 30-minute presentation on attorney-client privilege for attorneys and CPAs at this conference, and then about a month and a half ago, developed that 30-minute presentation into an hour presentation with a couple colleagues at an American Bar Association conference, and then 2 hours ago, Brittany and I developed it into a presentation today. So I love how things come full circle, and also, I mean, Brittany and I were sharing a stage in about 2 weeks at another conference, but I think the last time we shared a stage at NACUA was like, here at HEDI was 2018, maybe?
17 or 18.
17 or 18?
I think so.
Inventor payment, faculty inventors?
Faculty inventor payments,
there
yes.
There we go. Okay, so I don't know where we set the bar on that one. Hopefully we set it low, so now we can do well today.
I'm going to refrain from comment. We'll let folks pass judgment. All right, I'll man the slides here. Okay, so we're going to talk today about privileged communications, thinking both about the attorney-client privilege, the tax practitioner limited privilege, and attorney-client work product issues, and other related ethical issues for in-house practice. So first, we're going to have a relatively lengthy introduction, during which we'll go over really the bread and butter rules that apply in this situation. And then we are going to try to reserve a little more than half of our time to talk through a case study where we can actually kind of think about how these rules actually apply in a specific situation. We have a nice qualified sponsorship hypo that we'll work through together. All right, so Ben is going to talk through some of the basic core ABA model rules that cover these situations.
Sure. And what's funny is that Brittany is describing this as a lengthy intro. I actually think this is a somewhat short intro in that the way a traditional session on privilege and on ethics works is you spend all of 60 minutes just going through the rules. And we're going to do the rules, but we're going to do it as an intro because we're going to use this case study kind of as a vehicle for really seeing these rules in practice, in how you deal with them in your day-to-day lives, both as attorneys and as CPAs. So there's going to be something for everyone. But first, we need to start with a little bit of the bread and butter rules, especially to make sure that we have ethics credit all around. And we've got rules for attorneys and for CPAs, admittedly a little more on the attorney side because we're both attorneys, so that's what we know a bit more about. The first rule, probably the most basic one, which we're probably all familiar with, is organization as client. But in terms of what that means, it means the individuals who are calling you on a day-to-day basis, they're not your clients. They're not my clients. And that's kind of hard because I'll tell you, they hate to be told that. And so I feel like part of the art in how we advise is in following these rules wherein the university as a legal entity is our client without necessarily saying that to the individuals when we don't have to. Because it means that your officers aren't your client, means that your trustees aren't your client. In terms of how that comes up in practice, I mean, my primary area is tax, but I also advise in executive compensation. And my trustees have asked me at points to work with some of our executives and explain a proposed compensation package to them. They've asked me to write a memo to them explaining how a deferred comp package is going to work for them. And it's interesting kind of navigating that relationship with them, making sure they understand that I'm the university's counsel, that they can also consult with their own tax advisor. I'm able to share with them, here's how the university is going to treat these payments to you. That may be different from how you treat them, you know, for yourself. So the organization is your client, and on the one hand, it seems really basic. On the other hand, we're actually going to have a hypo in which we're going to kind of put some pressure on that concept of who your client is.
You know, I like to think about this as being the institution's guardian, right? Your job is to be an institutional guardian, and that principle makes sure that you're not any individual person's guardian. But it is a day-to-day balance, I think.
Yep. Yeah, and it becomes especially interesting when you have affiliates, because probably everyone in the room has various controlled legal entities, whether you use them for fundraising, for athletics, for your international activities. And so something you'll think about and something we'll get to is, are those various subsidiaries or controlled legal entities